All right, it's Tuesday morning here on First Up. Aaron Carolna, Carlo Koliakova with you. Coco, what a treat it was to tee it with you yesterday. Our boy Josh at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. But if you need to know my frame of mind this morning, beautiful day, by the way. My brain is so scrambled that when getting off the DVP, I went the wrong direction on the 401 for about maybe 6 minutes before realizing, Aaron, TSN is actually that way. That's where I'm at today. And I'm like, whoops, I am in one right now. So I got to figure out my my bearings, maybe get a compass out because the mind is not working. Hopefully that is not a precursor as to what's to come for the next 4 hours.
Well, good thing you got a couple hours here to put it together. But do you think because it was all the sun that you got yesterday? Because I kind of feel like the same thing this morning where I woke up after a deep sleep and I'm like, why the hell am I so tired? What did I do last night? And I washed my face this morning. I brushed my teeth. I look in the mirror and I have sunburn on my
face. I am hurting. Need some aloe. Cam, go get us some aloe. Any stores open at 6:01? We got to find that out. But no, you're onto something. I mean, it was an unbelievable day at Hamilton, which is the host of the RBC Canadian Open at the end of the month. And absolutely gorgeous golf course.
Special treat.
One of the best golf courses I've ever played. I've been very fortunate to play a lot of great golf courses in this province, in this country. And it's right at the top. Right at the top with St. George's and Oakdale and Beacon Hall with our boy Uncle Wayne, who we saw yesterday. So, yeah, it was a treat. It was a treat. And if my chipping is any indication, like Mr. Chips might not be a kind enough description of what was going on because there were some very low tie spinners like my boy Appy Barnrot.
My nickname for him is Mr. Chips.
Thank you very much. I didn't even cue him up for that one. But yeah, it was sick. It was so much fun. I love golf. It's the best. It's the best thing.
The one thing I learned about the challenges of the RBC Canadian Open and what it's going to present to all the golfers is stay out of the rough.
I know.
Stay out of the rough.
It's funny you say that because remember at Oakdale last year, did you play a round before the tournament last year?
No,
so it was so thick that you're basically just chipping out. You're just trying to get it back in the fairway. And it wasn't at that level yesterday, Fred Hamilton. But then you go out.
But it's going to get there.
It will get there.
3 weeks because they're not letting anybody drive on it. Yeah. It's just going to continue to grow.
The most amazing part about, there's a lot of amazing parts about PGA Tour players is like they weren't even fazed by that rough. Like for me, it was like, okay, it's over. Like it's like a hazard almost. You're just chunking it out and trying to get it back in play. These guys were like, all right, hit me that 5-iron caddy. Yeah. And they're just like, whoosh. Shoot 20. Right, and I'm just like, pardon? How's that even physically possible?
That was a pretty good noise you made, too.
That literally sounds
like a PGA Tour.
Thank you.
Like shot.
That's right.
You
that's what I do.
Hit the ball.
That's right.
Yeah.
I may not know what
really
direction
good.
I'm going in, but I know how to make it whoosh, sound. So yeah, it's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be a blast. Can't come soon enough.
Yeah. So I think that you've got, what do they call it? You've got too much sun, man. It's something your body's got to get used to because up until now, you know, like yesterday was the first time, and we talked about this when we were there. It's like, what do we wear? Is it pants? Is it shorts? You know, I've kind of adopted like being vest guy now because like it gives you an extra layer of like warmth while you could still wear a short sleeve golf shirt.
Yep.
And yesterday, you know, we were both wearing pants and it felt like short weather. It's like, okay, I think we're there. Especially today. Like it's supposed to be up in the 20s today.
Oh really? I have pants today. We're teeing it again.
Hell yeah.
Celebrating our boy Derek Trouba's birthday, by the way.
Yes.
Very happy birthday to a top notch individual.
Yes.
Another maybe reason that I'm a little bit discombobulated today is the Boston Bruins put up 5 goals on Florida from perhaps the most unlikely of sources. Allow me to read the first 4 goal scorers for the Boston Bruins, a team that beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, I may add. The first 4 goal scorers for Boston were Morgan Geekie, Justin Brazzo, Brandon Carlo and Mason Lowry, just like you would have expected. Boston, you knew it. You knew they were going to somehow just turn it on. They get past the Leafs. It's like, all right, Florida, no one thinks we're going to beat you, and we're going to smash you in game
Buddy,
one.
Buddy, I'm telling you, I seeing how this whole thing's going to play out.
Uh-oh.
Everybody
Carlo
wants,
the Mentalist, here we go.
Everybody wants so much change in Maple Leafs land that the Boston Bruins are going to find a way to beat the Florida Panthers and march their way to Stanley Cup Final.
Win.
and the Maple Leafs are going to see, we lost to a really good team. We almost had them. It's literally the story that is being written right now. How the Boston Bruins, for three games in a row in an elimination game, struggled to score more than one goal in a game. And they did it in Game 7 because they went to overtime. It was the only reason why they scored two. And then in Game 1 against the juggernaut Florida Panthers, they dismantle them offensively? Where did this come from?
Well, Swayman last night was unbelievable.
That was the best game I've seen Swayman play all series because he was actually tested.
16 high-danger scoring opportunities for Florida. Yeah. Swayman makes 38 of 39 saves.
Yeah.
And if they had that out of Conn Smythe through the first, I don't know, week and a half of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think it's Swayman.
Yeah, for sure. Or he's, maybe, got a nine, maybe, he's got a 950 save percentage.
Maybe McDavid, but you know, it's stupid what this guy is doing right now. And again, just go back to the fact that Boston sat him in a game in the playoffs already for no reason other than
Were you listening to the broadcast yesterday? Apparently, he started his sixth straight game yesterday. He hasn't done that his whole career.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what's so nuts about this whole thing.
And everyone's saying, wow, with the win, they could go back to Allmark in game two. Like, they got to find a way to get Allmark in. I mean, they've done it
somebody,
all season.
Somebody said that?
That's what they were talking about on the broadcast yesterday.
Like, the ESPN broadcast?
I don't know.
Do these guys watch hockey?
Yeah, well,
I think
it was ESPN.
Like, was that our boy Bob Wischusen? Who's going to join us at 8:45? If so, you should cancel him right now because that is an absurd comment.
Were saying.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to take Swayman out of the net. Sorry, whoever that was. But
Were saying, okay, now this is your chance to give Allmark a game, too. You're up 1-0. Get him back into the mix. This is something that they've done all season.
Wow.
I don't know.
You think that's possible?
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, I think it's insane.
You're the hottest goalie. Like, if that's the rationale to sit Swayman, and I don't know if it's like a fatigue thing, you're in the playoffs.
I agree,
like,
man.
What are you talking about? Is it. You have 2 months. Put the pedal to the metal. You can't mess around with Florida. Oh, let's see what Omar's got. Hasn't played in a week and a half. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he's got. No.
Well, Boston right now has a chance. And
huge opportunity.
As soon as this series was determined, I was reading people that obviously gamble, and they're like, oh, my God.
Free money alert.
Everything I have on Florida right now. And I was like, you know what? Like, optically, it seems like the right thing to do. But remember, like, this is the second round of the playoffs. Like, teams don't get there by fluke. And the Boston Bruins have owned the Florida Panthers this year. They were 4-0 against them going into that matchup last night. And it looked like they've manhandled the Florida Panthers because that's exactly what they did yesterday. They played almost a perfect road game halfway through the game, didn't give up much. They give up the first goal, and it's almost like every time they gave up the first goal against the Maple Leafs in their first round series, within 2 minutes they found a way to tie it. And then they just find a way to get more goals after that. And I'm telling you, if this series goes in Boston's favor, all it's going to do is enhance everything the Maple Leafs have been saying about their loss to the Boston Bruins and maybe start changing the narrative and saying, oh, maybe we don't have to blow it up. Maybe we did lose to a really good Boston team that might march its way to the Stanley Cup final. Do we really want to blow up a team that was that close? I mean, that's all I heard yesterday at the player exits is, we're really close. We're really close. We're right there. A team that's won one playoff round in the last 8 years is this close to being Stanley Cup contenders. And I'm like, I don't understand where these guys, how these guys can continue to say they're this close.
Well, they can say whatever they want. They're the players. They're not in charge of making any decisions.
Yeah, but how do they believe that?
Well, you can say whatever you want. Dude, Mitch Marner thinks he's a god in this city. So, I mean, you can believe whatever you want. You could say whatever you want. And we'll play that clip for you a little bit later. We got some we got some time on that one. And also Matthews and Nylander talking about Marner's a scapegoat. I mean, it was some lunacy, if you ask me. We'll get to all that. But I don't know if... And again, it's just one game that Boston beat Florida in. Florida could win on Wednesday night, and then it's all back to square one there. I expect that to happen. I still think Florida beats Boston in the series. I actually just checked on FanDuel. Florida plus 118 to win the series. Sign me up.
What?
Sign me up. I'm in.
That's a good bet.
Cats. Maybe we'll throw that one in there on Dump and Chase powered by FanDuel a little bit later. But what happens in this series has no reflection on Toronto.
Because I don't know how you can sit there comfortably and say that.
Because, well, here's what I would say is that the core pieces for the Maple Leafs didn't get it done against Boston. And I don't think that matters. And it's not done in a vacuum here. What I'm saying is not in a vacuum in that this is not a one-off. This is a two-off, three-off, four-off, five-off, six-off in which they've struggled
to close
the deal. So just because in this one instance, and again, Boston's up 1-0. It's far from written, the story of Boston and Florida. Nothing changes regardless. My perception of what happened, and we don't look at the loss of the Florida Panthers last year in the second round by the Leafs as something that changes the reflection on last year's team, do we?
Did they make any changes?
Well, no, exactly. Exactly. But I don't think that you could look at that and be like, Shanahan's like, yeah. Assuming he's in charge. Tree Living's like fist pumping, like, wow, there we go, okay. Boston. No, I don't see it.
Let's go to break. And let's pick up this conversation when you get back, because I have a theory, or at least an assumption, as to how this thing's going to play out.
Ooh, so do I.
And you're not going to be very happy with
what I think my theory is completely different than yours.
Let's get an assumption.
All right. Theories and assumptions. A new segment here on First Up on the Other Side. We'll talk to Chris Johnson, our hockey insider for Leafs Breakfast. Buster Olney will be on the show. The Jays back in action against the Philadelphia Phillies. And they are so desperate for pitching, they brought back a dude that was good 9 years ago in Aaron Sanchez. Like, yes, Aaron Sanchez, he's going to save the season. Bob Wischusen, who called the Panthers and the Bruins last night, he'll join us at 8:45. And Ian Mendes from Ottawa coming up at 9:15. Hour one of First Up on this beautiful Tuesday on TSN Radio. Chris Johnson in 90 Minutes had some rather fascinating comments about Mitch Marner and his interest in his interest in waiving his no trade clause, and doesn't sound like there's a lot of it, which I'm sure will go over very well with the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fans, if indeed the Maple Leafs want to take that approach, which I think they should, and I think a lot of people believe they will, but that remains to be seen here. We'll play some of the Marner audio for you in just a moment, but you have some theories and assumptions you'd like to get to. Please, take it away.
Do you remember when this whole announcement was made of when the Maple Leafs players and management would talk? It was an announcement made on Sunday where the players and the coach would speak on Monday and management would speak on Thursday. So yesterday, as we heard the coach and the players talk, and we'll get into all the things that were said, shortly afterwards, it was then announced that the Maple Leafs are moving their management meeting from Thursday to Friday. And the people speaking was actually revealed that it would be Tree Living, Shanahan, and new CEO Keith Pelley. That doesn't ring any alarm bells for you?
So what are your theories and assumptions with that move? What does that mean to you?
What does Toronto love to do in this market when they want to share news that they don't want people speculating on?
See, there is a 11:30 press conference on Friday, and it's 10:30. Chrissy, maybe get the time. It's not a 5:30 Friday afternoon news dump. It's a little bit different. It's earlier in the day.
Okay. But the fact that they moved it to a Friday versus a Thursday makes me believe that they just don't want to hear people comment on stuff that they're saying the days that follow. Because Saturday and Sunday, guess what? There's no sports talk radio where people can have their opinions on what it is that was said. And do you find it weird that all three guys are speaking? I mean, if all three guys are speaking, kind of makes you believe that everybody's returning, doesn't it?
Those three, I do, yes. I do believe Pelly and Shanahan and Tree Living will return. But what I read into this, and this is AK the Mentalist talking, mm-hmm. who has a good track record, 1-0.
Very good track record,
1-0. AK
yeah.
the Mentalist thinks that you push it back a day because you're introducing a new head coach on Friday as well. Got to get all the ducks in the order, sign all the contracts, get this person in. I don't know who it is. I have some hunches, some theories as well. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later.
So you're just going to hire a coach without going through an interview process is what you're saying?
I think they know who they want. And I think they've been looking and contemplating this. It's not only in the last couple of days, but they did it last year as well. They explored candidates, and I'm pretty certain, and there's no Rooney rule in the NHL. You don't have to hire a certain number of candidates. So
you mean to tell me they've known who they want this whole time, but yet they sent Sheldon Keefe out there yesterday to comment on the season and
in
end of the game?
Raptorland. In Raptorland, they did the same thing with Dwayne Casey, did the same thing with Nick Nurse. Those guys spoke.
Yeah, but Dwayne Casey didn't get fired like a couple days after. This was what, a couple weeks after?
Yeah.
You said on Friday they're going to name a head coach.
I think they will. That's my hunch. That's AK the Mentalist. Maybe Friday might be a little bit quick, but I think it's within the realm of possibility.
I have a weird sense, a very weird sense, and it's pretty strong of a sense.
Okay.
That everything that everybody wants to happen is not going to happen.
So that would be the firing of Sheldon Keefe. You think he's going to stick around?
I think there's a chance that Sheldon Keefe sticks around. I think there's a chance that the season starts next year and Mitch Marner is still on this team. I think there's a chance that Brendan Shanahan is still around. I think there's a chance they absolutely run it back.
I think there's 0% chance of that.
Look, I heard all the things that people were saying. I've been feeling some of the anger around this team in Leafs Nation. I believe that there should be change on this team. I just don't see it happening, to quote Al's brother. Ooh, I really don't.
Al's brother quote. I like that. All right, Chrissy, why don't you cue up Chris Johnston talking about the Mitch Marner contract extension, and his little nugget at the end of this commentary is what I want you to focus on.
If they're extending Mitch Marner, is he getting the same contract William Nylander just signed? That was an $11.5 million 8-year extension. You know, can the Leafs possibly think that they can win with, you know, giving him a slight raise in that case? And, you know, for Marner himself, I think he has to look and decide what's best. I mean, he controls the situation, though. We should be clear on that. He has a no-movement clause. I don't believe he's inclined at all to even consider waiving it for a trade somewhere else at this point in time. And so, you know, they're going to have to work together on it.
So there you go. I don't believe he's inclined at all to even consider waiving his no-movement clause for a trade somewhere else at this point. So if you're to look at the idea of, I mean, I don't know how you force a guy to waive his no-movement clause. Can you be like,
There's ways to do it.
No, there are ways to do it. And you could apply an immense amount of pressure on Mitch Marner and be like, dude, if you don't, you will be so despised in this city by the fan base, it will be extremely unpleasant for you. Extremely unpleasant for you. And if that's bullying, is that unethical? You can maybe make an argument. Yeah, he's got a no move clause.
That's business.
It's business. I don't know the ethical nature of that. Mitch Marner signed a contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs that included a no movement clause, so he controls his own destiny.
And if you listened to him speak yesterday, I don't think leaving here is on his mind.
I don't think so either. Why don't we take a listen to what Marner had to say about his desire to stay with the Leafs?
I mean, that'd be a goal. I've expressed my love for this place, this city. Obviously, I've grown up here, so, you know, we'll start thinking about that now and, you know, trying to figure something out.
What does it mean to be a Maple Leaf?
It means the world. Obviously, we're looked upon as, you know, kind of gods here, to be honest.
No!
No! Not that. No.
So
that's a little bit out of context. We should really extend that. And out of fairness for Mitch, that's not really fair to him at all. And the reference he was making a few sentences later was the 2019 Toronto Raptors, who are looked at as gods in the city because they won. And we talk about Marc Gasol chugging the rosé and Serge Ibaka, what a do, baby, and all these guys. We love these guys. And I want to be fair to Mitch Marner. I don't think that clip was at all fair to Mitch Marner there, isolating that particular instance. But at the same time, if you're Mitch Marner, you got to read the room a little bit better.
The only thing
the Maple Leafs are gods of is losing in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Gods of that, they are a deity unlike any other. They're so good at it. And I would bow down to them when it comes to losing the first round. They're great at it. So good. But well, to use that term, I mean, that was really not the best idea. And I would probably like to have a redo on that one if I was Mitch Marner.
If I was Mitch Marner, I'd probably go back and substitute the word gods with role models. Because I think that's an appropriate word to use. Gods, I mean, I just think... I understand what he's saying when being a member of the Maple Leafs, it feels like you're walking around in a 24-hour spotlight. I get it. But I think it was the wrong choice of words in describing what it feels like to be a Maple Leaf. Role model, I think, is the appropriate one because I know a lot of kids that look up to Mitch. I know a lot of kids that look up to Austin, to John, to Morgan Riley, to William Nylander, because they idolize these guys. They play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're the best players on the Toronto Maple Leafs. They play hockey, and when they're out on the rinks, they have their jerseys on of these certain players, and they try to be these certain players when they play. People don't look at them as gods. Gods are what people look at when they're out making people celebrate things. And right now in Maple Leaf land, there hasn't been much to celebrate.
Not even close.
Other than being a diehard Maple Leaf fan that gets their soul crushed every season at the same time of year, there's not much to celebrate being a Maple Leafs fan right now. And so, look, I get it. This is a guy that's faced a lot of scrutiny, been under the criticism microscope, and he just caught himself choosing the wrong word at that time. But I get what he was trying to say, because it is true. And what bothered me about what I heard yesterday is the fact that nobody took accountability except for Sheldon Keefe. Nobody. Not one player on that team came out and said, if I would have played my best, we would have won this series, and that's on me. I go back to I think it's the year 2021, coming out of the bubble. 20 fingers. You have that McKinnon clip queued up? No? Okay. Nathan McKinnon, after a playoff series loss to the Vegas Golden Knights, okay, sitting on the podium after that loss, was asked, what does this team need to do going into next year to make sure that you have a better chance to win? He says, I've been losing for 9 straight years. I don't give a you know what about anything but winning. That's what he said. That's a guy who was sick and tired of losing, not coming out and saying, well, we were close. We are close. I just feel like that's what I wanted to hear yesterday. And Mitch Marner could have been the perfect example of the guy to say that and say, look, I'm disappointed in myself. I didn't play anywhere near my capabilities, and I just drive myself nuts thinking about where our team could be today if I played where I'm supposed to play and how I'm expected to play, because my production could have got us over the hump. You know what people would have thought of him yesterday if he came out and said that? People would have gained a lot more respect for him, because there would have been recognition from him or anybody else on this team that there was personal failure by guys who were expected to lead the way at this time of year, and again, didn't come close to being the leaders that they needed to be. Instead, it was, yeah, you know, it's a tough time.
Same feeling, and once again.
Same feeling, you know, we lost again. We lost to a really good team. It was, the playoffs are tough. We have a great group in here. It feels like we're really close. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. Everyone's sick and tired of hearing that. Somebody step up to the podium and lose their mind. Get upset about losing. Don't sit there and accept that losing was your fate again and take responsibility for your actions.
You are spot on. And the fact that they didn't, and there is no team with more experience in the post-mortem Monday with the media than the Toronto Maple Leafs and this group of Toronto Maple Leafs after yet another failure, you'd think that someone would have been like, hey guys, here's the messaging. Here's what I think we can do here to maybe not soften the blow, but get the fan base buzzing a bit in a positive way as opposed to a negative way. Like, let's say you're Mitch Marner. You're asked, hey Mitch, like, how do you evaluate your series? I feel like I'm capable of so much more. And I grew up in this city, and I understand what it means to be a Toronto Maple Leaf as well as anybody. And I let the fan base down. I know
I let my team down. I let
everybody
down.
I scored 3 points. I had as many points as Lyubushkin. Don't, maybe not say that. Lyubushkin was like, dude, why'd you single me out? But I just don't understand a lot of it. And it wasn't just Marner, man. It wasn't just Marner. It was Matthews too, and Nylander defending Marner.
Everybody was defending Marner.
That's your boy, I understand. It's your close friend. You've been together for a long time.
And yeah, they're explaining to everybody how close of a group they are. They've said that many times.
And I'm not
saying, no one cares about how close of a group you are.
And I'm not saying Matthew should be like, yeah, Mitch was garbage. Man, I can't believe we pay him 9.5, or excuse me, 10.9 a year. Like, what are we doing here? So, I just don't understand a lot of the verbiage coming out from the Leafs, and Marner was labeled a scapegoat. Matthew's like, oh, well, Mitch is a scapegoat here. I'm like, no, he's not. It's not us against the world here. All the fans want to see is you guys have playoff success. It's not about isolating one individual person as the reason for the Maple Leafs failure, because it wasn't just Mitch Marner. It was a collective combination. It was a collective of a 23-man roster who scored 12 goals in 7 games. That's it. But Mitch Marner deserves criticism because he had 3 points in those 7 games and wasn't nearly the type of player that he is expected to be. It's just a fact. And no one's out to get you, Maple Leafs. The media aren't sitting there conspiring to embarrass you or try to make you into a bad guy. If you win, you are a god in this city. It's true, but you don't. Year after year, so it's always got to be somebody else's fault.
Yeah. And look, everybody remembers the quote, oh, we earned respect in the handshake line. Okay. What the message should be is earn the respect back with the fans, because they're the ones that deserve it. Not the handshake line, not the other team, not the other coaches, not the other players. It's the fans that you need to earn the respect back from.
And if you want to talk about respect around the NHL, I don't think the Leafs have very much of it.
No.
You saw with Matthew Tkachuk. This guy was basically making fun of the Leafs. Oh, yeah, you know, this is before the series against the Boston Bruins began. We expected to play Boston all series long.
Nobody takes these guys seriously.
It's because
man.
They shouldn't take them seriously. They don't take themselves seriously. Why should anybody take them seriously?
Sure. That's fair. Look, the only guy that took responsibility yesterday was Sheldon Keefe. And maybe we can listen to some of the stuff that he said.
And I think Morgan Rielly as well, with his comments about how
painful I don't think Morgan Rielly took responsibility, but what Morgan Rielly did was actually speak a little bit of the truth.
Mm. We're really close. We won 3 games out of the 16 necessary to win the Stanley Cup, but we're really close.
We still feel like we're really close, but last year was 5 games. We're almost still that far away.
Yeah, you're not close. Like, not even remotely close. But it's the Boston Bruins are getting closer. A big win for them last night over Florida, 5-1. We'll get to the NBA story a little bit later as well. How about Minnesota? It's unbelievable. what they just did to Denver. They dismantled Denver yesterday. And so much so that Jamal Murray threw a heating pad on the floor in the middle of play, which some people believe that may get him suspended for game number three.
Oh, boy.
And I think that would be curtains for Denver.
The Denver Nuggets down 2-0.
Both games at home.
Both home games to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And Gobert didn't play last night for Minnesota. Minnesota was a 7.5-point dog. So they smashed Denver. And they are in some serious
trouble.
That's
a statement.
Minnesota is a bunch of studs. Like, I am a huge fan of Anthony Edwards. He is so much fun to watch. And he has been putting on a clinic all playoffs long. He's emerging as one of the brightest, if not the brightest star in the NBA. And you talk about a guy who could make himself the face of the NBA. You go out and beat Denver. And you beat the winner of OKC and Dallas. You get to the finals. You play Boston. Go head-to-head with Jason Tatum. You beat them, which I think is very possible at this point. If Minnesota beats Denver, yeah, they can beat anybody for sure. So that's a fascinating story we'll get to a little bit later. Plus the Toronto Blue Jays back in action. Ugh. Barrios on the hill in Philadelphia. Team that I believe has won 10 of its last 11 games. Something like that. Buster Olney will join us. Yeah, that's should go well. Buster Olney at 8:15 on that story. We'll talk to Ian Mendez as well on the future of the Ottawa Senators as their head coaching search seems to have come to an end yesterday, as direct report from Darren Dreger. This is Hour 1 of First Up. Chris Johnston in an hour. He fired up for the NHL draft lottery tonight, 6:30.
Oh, yeah.
What's the terminology this year for Celebrini? Is there like a, you know, failing for Celebrini or I don't know.
Bad for Bedard or
Bad
something
for
like
Bedard
that?
Was the James Duthie original tune. Oh, and is there a Celebrini version? I'm not sure. Texas 10-50-50 if there is.
It's a good question.
Celibate for Celebrini? Celibate from wins? Not very good.
No,
I can do better than that.
I've heard it before. I can't remember what it is, though. We'll find it.
We will find it. We will find it. But, I mean, when you consider the importance of that, Celebrini is going to be a stud in the NHL for a number of years.
So.
And I think the drop-off from Celebrini to whoever else, 2, 3, 4, 5, is significant. So,
well, if you're looking for a defenseman, this is the draft that you're going to find him in, because my understanding is the first round is going to be very, very defense dominant. And I think even in the top 10, you could have as many as 5 or more of the top 10 be defensemen in this draft. That's the quality we're looking at right now. So, but yeah, Macklin Celebrini, he's the piece, right? He's the piece that can help push a franchise forward, because, you know, he's got that type of skill set and that type of capability. And, you know, you look at a team like San Jose that has just gone through absolute misery the last 2 years. And we've been so caught up in the Toronto Maple Leafs throughout this 10-day playoff stretch, which seems to be the norm for them, that we didn't even remember that, or at least talk about the fact that San Jose fired their coach. Like, San Jose fired their coach. I don't know why. Like, do they see themselves as a team that's ready to take that next step?
Yeah,
I don't see it.
Maybe, you know, win 20 games instead of 15. No, I'm with you. That was really surprising. And for tonight, for San Jose to get Celebrini would be remarkably important. They
Huge.
Have an 18.5% chance. Chicago has a 13.5% chance at number one overall. Anaheim at 11.5%. Then Columbus, 9.5%. Montreal, 8.5%. And where I believe he will end up, conspiracy Aaron, Utah. Utah.
You think Utah with the sixth?
Yeah.
Best
well, Bettman will fix it. He'll go full David Stern with Patrick Ewing back in 1985.
Are they even allowed to move up to one? I thought it was only the
No, you can
teams.
Move up 10 spots. 10 spots.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's possible. Ottawa could win the Celebrini lottery as well. But my guess is that Bettman fixes it for his new buddy Ryan Smith. It's like, thanks for the $1 billion. Here's Celebrini. Yeah. Oh, man, the conspiracies that go on.
Well, you remember when everybody thought that Chicago, they fixed it for Chicago last year so that Bedard ended up in Chicago, and there was all the behind-the-scenes videos that were released of the lottery ball that came out, and I know Frank Saravalli did a big piece on it, which was pretty cool to watch.
If Chicago gets him, I would be okay with that.
He was in the room.
I just don't want San Jose, Anaheim. I want to see Celebrini play. With those teams, they start 10 o'clock. I can't watch.
Yeah.
So Chicago, like, you have Bedard, Celebrini down the middle. That'd be pretty sweet.
You know what? I don't want that to happen to Chicago because they've had their years of glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I have so much despise for the Blackhawks organization for my own personal experiences because of all the series we lost to them and their marches to the Stanley Cup in doing so. So I don't want, and I was upset when Bedard ended up there, especially with everything that organization has been caught being accused of. But hey, you live, you learn, you move on. Bedard's there. And yeah, if you're looking for, you know, a position that can help elevate his development, for sure, playing with Bedard would be unbelievable for Celebrini. But I want to see him go somewhere else and join a different crop of young players. Like Anaheim's got a great group of young players. So what about going to Columbus and joining Fantilli?
We do love Adam Fantilli on this show. He will be representing Canada at the upcoming World Hockey Championship. So we're big fans of Adam Fantilli. Columbus, not the biggest fan of that that team and that roster. But we do love Fantilli. So that's at 6:30
Columbus
tonight.
Still needs a new GM, don't they?
Yeah, I don't think they've replaced Yarmo unless John Davidson's just taking the job full time.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll ask Chris Johnson perhaps about that. A lot of conversations. And Ottawa as well. It sounds like they're settling in on Travis Green as their next head coach, which I think is surprising in that he has not had a lot of success. He's a below 500 record as a head coach.
Yeah.
I would think that you'd be looking at a guy with some kind of Stanley Cup pedigree, but I guess they saw something in Greeny that... Did you play with Travis Green one of your years in Toronto? Yeah, I mean,
I did.
Everybody loves Travis Green. I'm not trying to take a shot at him at all. I think he's a great coach, but I would just think for Ottawa that they would look at someone with more of a track record of success.
The good track record that Travis Green has for himself is he helped turn that Vancouver franchise around, a team that was in a very similar spot that Ottawa is in right now.
It's true.
Came in, established a culture, established a system, demanded conditioning. Like, he's very, very, very big on conditioning. Like, he's going to make sure that those guys are in great shape and prioritize fitness and conditioning in Ottawa. Not saying that I believe that was a problem there, but there's relationships there. Like Matt Nichol, who oversees all of the fitness and strength and conditioning in Ottawa, has a very close relationship with Travis Green.
Mm.
So,
all right, that's the inner workings.
And probably Steve Staples and Dave Poulin as well.
I feel like there's a lot of those relationships that kind of cross over when it comes to the Ottawa Senators at this point in time. So the first up scoreboard on the other side. Again, lots of talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs locker room cleanout day yesterday. We'll play you audio from Sheldon Keefe, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, John Tavares, and Morgan Riley. Plus, we'll look at a Friday where Keith Belly, Brad Treliving, and Brendan Shanahan expected to speak at 10:30
They are not sitting at the same table as friends, only to have somebody be removed from their seats a couple of days later.
I agree. I agree with that. But maybe there'll be somebody else new in the organization on Friday, a.k.a. The Mentalist. The school board next. This is the first up scoreboard. The Boston Bruins, just as we all predicted, destroy the Florida Panthers last night 5-1. Jeremy Swayman was unbelievable. Boston scoring 5 unanswered goals after Matthew Tkachuk opened the scoring. Geeky Lowry, Brandon Carlo with the new dad strength, had a kid 2 days ago, and then scores the third goal for the Bruins last night. Justin Brazo and Jake DeBrusque into the empty net. Game 2 on Wednesday. In the NBA last night, an unbelievable game between New York and Indiana that sees the Knicks take a 121-117 win. A questionable call on Miles Turner, an offensive foul. That was like a hard pick to me, but New York,
you know,
escapes.
Yeah, but AK, you know what? They reviewed it. They reviewed that pick and stuck with the call. So
soft play. Wow, New York wins again. Kudos to them. OG Anunoby, 1. Pascal Siakam, nothing. 2-0 for Minnesota over Denver. They beat the Nuggets 106-80. Denver at home at 80 points. What is this, 1992? How is that even possible? That's a crazy, crazy stat. The Jays in action tonight. They'll play the Philadelphia Phillies. First of 3. The Phillies have won, I think it's 10 of their last 11 games. So that's going to be a tough test for the Toronto Blue Jays. Hour 2 is coming up. We'll talk to Chris Johnson, our hockey insider. We'll see what type of takes Cameron has at 7:15. Plus, lots of Leafs talk as the Toronto Maple Leafs clean out their lockers, talk to the media. We'll play some highlights and debate the results. That's next.